And certainly we are thankful that God has permitted the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles and given us a hearing on that and given us ability to have faith and has saved us. And so in this chapter, we see a great change that takes place in the work of the Lord. Up until this point, it was primarily a Jewish church. It was primarily Jewish in every aspect. But now in chapter 10, we find that something changes or something is added to it. And there's a group of Gentiles that now are going to find themselves also in this new thing that's called, that we know of as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was very active in this, and Paul was active. It's interesting tonight in chapter 10, we find that the central figure is the Apostle Peter, that Jew among all the Jews, and God had to show him some things, and we'll look at that tonight. There's a vision here that is given to them, and God works on both sides. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord always works on both sides of the issue. He takes care of every angle, every avenue. Here's some Gentiles that are devout, and here are some folks that are needing the truth. And Peter has the truth, but God has to teach him a lesson concerning what truth is all about. So let's look in these first few verses here, and we'll notice this man by the name of Cornelius. Verse number 1, Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Here we find in these verses the sovereignty of our God in the dealings with individuals and people. We find this man, and we know his name is Cornelius. He's in the city of Caesarea. We find that he labored as a centurion. He was of the centurion in the army. The Bible tells us here that he was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, that's not a musical group. That's a centurion. That's an army group, an Italian group of men that he is over. He's the centurion of those probably at least 100 men. And he is, the Scripture tells us some things about him. The Bible tells us here that in verse number 2 that he was a devout man, one that feared God. So he had some thought, had some knowledge concerning the things of the Lord. And not only was he a devout man, but the Scripture tells us here that he led his house correctly. It says, in all his house, which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. Here is a man that is a centurion, a soldier by trade, by profession. And he has some things in his heart concerning God. And the Scripture says he was devout. He was very, very devout in his worship to the Lord and his house. And he gave alms. He gave his money. And he was always active. And he prayed to God. And all of a sudden, the Scripture says here in verse number 3 that he saw a vision. Now here we find the providence of God, the grace of God, coming to him without him knowing anything or him asking anything. God just appears unto him in this vision and or through the angel of the Lord. The Scripture says in verse number 3 that there was a message concerning given to him. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, and just speaks his name, Cornelius. So here we are. This man is a devout follower. He still has to have some learning, some training. He has to have some knowledge given to him. He didn't have complete knowledge of these things. And so God embarks upon him an angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and he calls his name. And you'll notice here that he said pretty close to the same words that that Saul did as he traveled on the road to Damascus. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And he immediately recognizes that he's dealing with an angelic being. He immediately realized that he's dealing with a heavenly being. And he says, "What is it, Lord?" And he says, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." Here we find about the ninth hour, this vision occurred. Now, in Jewish counting of time, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The ninth hour, they start at 6, and you count down the numbers, and you'll find it's somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when it happened. And the message was given. The why is because he'd been praying. You see, prayer is important to all of us, and I think we probably could take some lessons from Cornelius, and later on we find that Peter was on the housetop. He went there to pray. We could take some lessons that we ought to always be effective in our prayers and go to the Lord and hear this angelic being. The angel tells him in these verses what to do. He says, "Now your prayers and your alms have come to the Lord as a memorial. God has noticed all these things, and you're devout." And he said, "But now here's what you need to do. You need to send men to Joppa. And then you call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." Isn't it interesting that the Lord knows exactly for us how we can get a hold of the right person? And God directs this man, Cornelius, and Cornelius tells his servants to go, and his centurion, his army, to go and to this place where God directs him to. You see, nothing with the work of the Lord is ever by coincidence. It does not just happen. And the Lord had a plan here, and God was working this plan and with Cornelius. And he says, "Now here's what you need to do. You need to send to Joppa, and you find a man by the name of Simon, whose surname is Peter. And oh, by the way, I can even tell you where he is. He's in the house of Simon the Tanner, and he's up by the seaside. And so when you get there, you know who to look for, and you know where to look for him." And so here we find the message of this vision was for what he's to do. He is to send forth someone. Now when you come to verse number 7, "The angel which had spake unto Cornelius was departed. He called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Now here we find some things I believe are good things and good qualities about this man, Cornelius. We already know he's a devout man. We already know he fears God. We already know he gives of alms and of his own goods and ways to help the poor. And he does all these things and he prays to God. But not only did he do all those things, but he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the vision. He obeyed the angel of the Lord that came to him. And he said, "Now you go and or you send to Joppa. You'll find Peter. You'll find him at this house. And it's by the seaside." And then when the angel has departed, Cornelius immediately goes and he gets 2 of his household servants. And then he gets a devout soldier, one that waited on him continually. Somebody he took these men that he could trust, and he said, "Now this is what you need to do." And so when he declared all those things to them, he sent them to Joppa. He immediately endeavored to do the things that the angel of the Lord told him to do. No wonder Cornelius is considered and told to us as a devout man. He is obedient to the call. He's obedient to the Word of God. And the vision that he had, this is something out of the ordinary. This is something that was needed. We have to remember we're in a new facet of ministry. There's something new taking place. And Jesus has died and he has established his church. And it's a Jewish church. And everything about it is Jewish. And everybody, just about everybody in it is Jewish in their background as far as their nationality and as far as their religion. But now there's some things going to take place. There's some changes. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to expand. And so we are in that continuing story of the foundational beginnings of what we call the New Testament church. And for those things to take place, God did some extraordinary things that He does not do now. He could, but He does not. He did some things on the day of Pentecost that were out of the ordinary, and He's going to do some things here for the Gentile, just like He did the Jew, to firmly establish and have foundation for the New Testament church. And so Cornelius sends these three, and he sends for Peter. Now when you get to verse number 9, the scene changes. We're no longer at Cornelius' house. We're no longer with him talking to his servants and the centurion that's going to go with them. But the scene changes now to Peter's house. Now here's where God's working on both sides. And God had to work on both sides, or it would have never come about if God hadn't done some miraculous things on both sides of the issue. Verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, that's those three that from Cornelius' house, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, now the scene changes to Peter. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now can you figure that out? That's about noontime. One is at the ninth hour, the next day at the sixth hour. Peter goes up to his rooftop, and in that particular era of time and that particular location, the houses were flat roofed, and much was done on the roof. It was where a person could go and lounge. It was a place where they could go and just have a gathering. And so Peter goes to the top of his house. You see, David went to the top of his house one day and he saw Bathsheba bathing. And so it was very common for them to go to the roof. And this is what Peter did. And he goes to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, around noon. And he became very hungry. Well, that's normal. He was a Baptist. Around noon, we usually eat. And it says, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, while Peter has told the folks that he's ready to eat, while they're making ready down on the first floor, Peter's up on the roof and he falls into a trance. He's very hungry. Now notice here what takes place. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending upon it, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, notice what he says, Not so, Lord. Peter's done that before. Not so, Lord. When the Lord told Peter and his disciples some time back that he was going to be crucified and he would die, Peter said, Not so, Lord. Now he's saying it again in this trance and as he speaks with the Lord, and he sees all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things, and the voice there says, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now here is God working on the Jew's side. He's already worked on the Gentile. Cornelius, the Italian, he has a band of soldiers. And he's a devout man. He needs truth from God. Well, the man that needed to give him truth was Peter. But Peter was not equipped to do that until God showed him this vision. Somebody says, why did the Lord use this particular thing? Well, I think it's very self-explanatory here. This next day, about the noontime, he became very hungry. He saw heaven open and a sheet comes down with all manners of animals all upon it. Things that were creeping and creeping things and just every kind of animal. And the voice and the trance said, Peter, now it's time you're hungry. Here's your food. Arise and eat. Now Peter protested very, very strongly when he said, not so, Lord. And he tells you why. He said, I have never had anything that was common or unclean. Now, what the Lord is going to reveal to Peter before very long, and Peter gets the message, he doesn't understand it first, that the Lord is preparing him to deal with those Gentiles that he considered common and unclean people. Peter was a Jew, and he was a very proud Jew, and he kept all the laws, and he did all those things. And so he protests. But Peter is rebuked, and the Lord said, what I have cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. Peter said, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice said, spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. What God handles and what God gives you, you can use it. And the Bible says here, this was done thrice or three times. Now, it wasn't... God didn't do this to Peter three times because Peter was forgetful. God did this to Peter for three times because Peter needed to know for sure in his own heart and his own mind that this was something that was from the Lord. And God is emphasizing the third time that the subject here matter is important. Now notice verse number 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision of which he had seen should mean, behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now, here's these men traveling, and God's dealing with Peter, and Peter doesn't understand it. I don't believe he understood a thing about it, not at this time. And the Scripture says here that Peter doubted in himself. It'd be like you and I. Well, what in the world does that mean? It'd be like us saying, I don't understand that. And here's Peter on the housetop, and he's gone to pray, and he falls into a trance. He has a vision from the same person, I believe, that Cornelius had. And these heavenly visions and visits came in order to get these two groups of people together that would not commonly, normally have ever gotten together. You know, there are some things that just will not happen unless God makes it happen. There are some things that just will never come to pass in a natural sense. But I'm glad our God is more than just natural. He's supernatural. And God can take the common things and God can take the little things and make great things out of them. And so here God deals with Cornelius. You send somebody down to Peter's house. And he's there. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. You go down there. And as they went, God gets a hold of Peter and he shows him all manner of animals. Peter doesn't understand it. Peter said, I'm not going to eat this stuff. I sort of think maybe on that sheet that came down was probably a roasted pig. Now, Peter wasn't going to eat no pig. That's not good English, but that's... Anyway, he wasn't going to eat no pig. He was a Jew. And swine was very, very off limits. It was dirty to them. And creeping things. Peter said, I've never took anything that's common or unclean. Go back to Leviticus, you'll find what those unclean animals are. I think God put them on that sheet to show and teach Peter something. God said, what I've cleansed, don't you call common. You and I tonight, you know what we were before we got saved? We were just common old sinners. Oh, but thank God He saved us. And no longer are we common. No longer are we unclean. But we're a child of God. And God tells Peter, so now, you just look at the sheet. You look at this table sheet, this tablecloth, and what's on it, and you just arise and eat. And Peter said, not so. I'm not going to do it. And so while he's in there wondering what in the world this is coming has come about, here comes these men from Cornelius' house. And they inquire for Simon's. And he stood at Simon's house and they stood before the gate and called in verse 18 and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, he just can't get over what he saw. While he's thinking about what he has just seen, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Then, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Here's a nighttime. They get there sometime afternoon. They talk to Peter. He lodges them there that night. And they say, this is why we're here. And he lodges them to the next day. And verse 23 says that these brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And so Peter's in Joppa. He takes some friends with him. So here's this band going back, this group going back to Cornelius' house, to Caesarea. Verse 24, And tomorrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Here's a huge gathering of family and friends. You see, Cornelius, he had some idea that something's going to take place. And so he brings his family in, he brings his friends in, and they're waiting for Peter to come back. Well, Peter, they come in. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down his feet and worshipped him. Now, that wasn't the right thing to do. But Cornelius was a man that didn't understand everything. Here's a man that has had a vision from God and told him where to go, who to go to, and here's the man shows up. And he just falls down before Peter and pays homage to him. Notice what Peter does. Peter took him up saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. Now, Peter wasn't like some people we know today. Some people, some folks I know would enjoy you falling down and worshiping them. They really think you ought to anyway, even though you don't. And they have that air about them. And, of course, Peter is said to be the first pope. And the pope sort of likes that homage today. He likes people to kiss his ring and his hand. And he sort of, but Peter wasn't that way. He said, I'm just a man like you are. What Peter's saying, he said, I'm nothing special. He's just a man that God had dealt with. And I'm not sure he knows yet why God showed him all those things. And so Peter corrects him. All this crowd at Cornelius' house had gathered together. Peter corrects him. Look at verse number 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Inside Cornelius' house was an assembly. Now, it wasn't a church, but it was an assembly. It was a group of people that had come together. And Cornelius said, I want you to come hear this man, Peter. And so they go in and they find all kind of men, all kind of people here. Many had come together. Verse 28. Peter's just about to figure it out now. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. Peter said, What I'm doing, you as Gentiles, you know that it's unlawful for me to do this. But notice the next two words. But God. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Immediately in the eyes of Peter, he understands, this is what God showed me. Here I am in the midst of all these Gentiles. And Peter didn't like Gentiles. It doesn't matter if he's a disciple of the Lord. It doesn't matter what all Peter does. He didn't like Gentiles. That was inbred in him. So like a lot of things that's inbred in us that we just don't like, and we can't figure out why we don't like it, but we don't like it because our families never liked it. Doesn't necessarily make it right. And so here Peter is in the midst of all these Gentiles, and that crowd had come with him. Remember, he wasn't by himself. He had a lot of people from Joppa. And I guarantee you, every one of those that Peter brought were Gentile, or were Jews. And so he tells them, he says, I've come to you, and you know it's unlawful for me being a Jew to keep company or coming to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Immediately that sheet that had all that common and unclean food on it that Peter said he wasn't going to touch or wasn't going to have any dealings with, all of a sudden he understands God's not talking about animals, God's talking about people. No such thing as common or unclean people. We're all made in the image of the Lord and we all need the gospel. Peter didn't understand that till this point. Verse 29 says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. He came unto them without gainsaying or without anger. He said, I just did what I was told. Here's two devout men. Here's two men that fear God. Here's two men that worship. Here's two men, one a Jew, one a Gentile. Worlds apart. And Cornelius said, now in these next verses, Cornelius just rehearses to Peter what had happened to him. See, God worked on Cornelius' side. God worked on Peter's side. Peter said, I know what it all meant now. And Cornelius said, well, now let me tell you what happened to me. And so he rehearses that in verse 30 down through 33. 4 days ago I was fasting till this hour. Ninth hour I prayed. The old man stood, bright clothing, and gives him all the story. Verse number 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God, and notice what he says, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius said, Peter, you just tell us what God told you to tell us. We are all here, we're present. And we're here for the purpose of hearing from God. Wouldn't it be great if every time we met together, it was for that purpose? That we would meet to hear from the Lord. And so Cornelius, he says, here we are. Cornelius says, I probably don't understand it. Peter said, I don't understand it. But Peter said, I'll preach, I'll tell you what God tells me. And in verse 34 on down, we find Peter's sermon to the Gentiles. Who preached on the day of Pentecost? Peter. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Some miraculous things. Here he is opening his mouth, and the first thing that Peter says, he says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Peter had learned exactly what that sheet meant. God's not respecter of the Jew any more than he is of the Gentile. But in every nation he hath he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Oh, Peter never preached anything like this. Peter said, of every nation, Peter understands, he says, in every nation he that feareth him is accepted with him. The word of God which was given to the was sent to the children of Israel preaching peace. He says that word, the word that was sent to Israel in verse number 36 is that word in verse number 37. I say ye know, which is published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of John priest, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and slew him, showed him openly, almost the same message as he preached to the Jew. To the Jew, he was condemning what they did. To the Gentile, he was rehearsing what they did. He says, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify is that which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness. And through his name, notice this now, and through his name, whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sin. You know what that is? Whosoever will can be saved. Peter said, I know what the sheet meant now. I understand it not just to the Jew only, but it's to every nation. And he said, and by the way, he told us to go into all people. They hadn't done that yet. He said, but he told us, he said, and so to him give all the prophets witness. All the Old Testament testifies of Jesus Christ. That through his name, who's the name? Jesus. Thank God through his name, there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And he said, whosoever believeth in him. If you turn over to Romans chapter 3, down through there, it's whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Peter's message as a Jew to the Gentile was the same message as Paul had as a Jew to the Gentile. Whosoever will. Thank God tonight. If you believe, God will save you. What a wonderful story we have. While Peter, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words. What words were that? We just read part of them. While Peter is preaching those or saying those words, understanding that God's no respecter of person, understanding that the gates of grace have been opened. You see, I really believe the gates of grace have been opened to all people from the very beginning. But the Jew didn't understand that. And now in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born. He was raised perfect. He died as a sinner. He rose again the third day. That's the message. Now he has gone into heaven and the church has been established and it's a Jewish church. And now Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's a Gentile that says, we need to know. We're ready to hear what you have to say. And Peter said, God doesn't respect me anymore, does you? No respecter of person. And if you'll believe, you'll be saved. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard what? The word. Now notice verse number 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel. Verse number 37, that word I say. And when he spoke that word that was given to the children of Israel in verse number 44, it's they heard the word. Same word. So when they heard the word of God, the Bible says, and they were of circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's all these Jews that are watching and they're amazed that here's the Spirit of God being poured out upon Cornelius's household and all those family and friends that he had. And here they are experiencing the same thing they experienced on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says, for they heard them speak with tongues. And by the way, that's not unknown tongues. That's tongues, languages. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Here's these Jews. They heard that. They speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They've got the same thing we've got. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. What a wonderful story. Here's two groups of people that would have never gotten together except by the power of God. And it took a vision on one side. Took a vision on the other side. And when they got together, the glory of God came down. This account in chapter 10 is the really the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles. Yes, there's still a lot of Jews that will be saved. There's a lot of Jews that are going to come in, but the Gentiles are opened up. And God has proved and put His stamp of approval on them because He did the same thing for the Gentiles as He did the Jews. The continuing story of the New Testament church. I believe that's what Acts is. We find the Lord establishing the church there in Matthew 16, 18. We find it's empowered on the day of Pentecost as those Jewish believers come together, and now it's continuing on. We have the setting now for Paul and Barnabas. In just a little while, they're going to be sent out as a missionary. Who do they go to? They go to the Gentile nations, but they primarily deal again with Jews until the Lord shows them a Macedonian call. The continuing story and development of the New Testament church, what a great story it is. And here God worked on two groups of people that would have never gotten together. And God knows how to get us together. And God did for the Gentile what He did for the Jew. And you and I tonight, we're sitting in Grace Baptist Church as a direct result of what God did to the house of Cornelius. If God hadn't have smiled upon the Gentiles, we'd be like the Gentiles of that era. We'd be heathen. Oh, but thank God for His grace. And God freely opened the door. And there's some men that go out and they preach the gospel everywhere they go. Saul, Barnabas, John Mark, later on Paul and Silas, Barnabas and John Mark, believers in every era, every town, every country. And they go as far as we know into the country of Spain. It's what Spain is today. Paul probably went that far. And you know who those are. Those are European Gentiles. And I dare say every one of us, and most of us in here tonight, can trace our ancestry back to a European Gentile. My heritage goes back to Scotland and Ireland on one side. On my mother, my grandfather's side, German. That's a Gentile European heritage. Sharon's family goes back to Wales, the Roberts. That's a name of a Welsh name. And many of our names have carried over to today. You can find them hundreds of years ago. And somewhere in that group, somebody got saved. Somebody told somebody else. And we are still telling somebody else the continuing story of the New Testament church. Wonderful story, wonderful message. One day God's going to take us home to be with Him, for we are His people, called by His name. And one day He'll call our name, and we'll go to be with Him. Let's stand together tonight.